This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Scott Walker was governor of Wisconsin for 8 years, but for many people on both sides of the aisle, his defining moment came in the earliest days of his tenure. That was the point at which a special legislative session resulted in the passage of Act 10, which greatly reduced the bargaining power of state employees. The legislature went on to pass so-called right-to-work laws in 2015, which prohibits labor contracts requiring people to join a union if their job falls under certain categories.
So as Tony Evers has taken office as governor, the relative power of labor unions in Wisconsin is in a different place than it was in 2010. Leadership at the union level is different as well. The Wisconsin AFL-CIO is now under the direction of Stephanie Bloomingdale. We invited her to stop by the Lake Effect studio to talk about the state of organized labor here in 2019. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I really appreciate being here with you.
So there was a lot of talk about the efforts of organized labor in playing a role in last fall's elections around Wisconsin in particular. Do you feel like unions here played a role in the way the elections went, for example, Tony Evers' success?
Absolutely. Union men and women from across the state were engaged in this election like never before. And we spent time knocking on doors, talking to members in the workplace, and really talking about why this election is so important for everyday lives of working people. And guess what? People responded by voting for Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes. Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes will be great for Wisconsin's working people. And it really is a bright new day here in Wisconsin with this new administration.
At the same time, the Randy Brice campaign, in which he talked a lot about his union background, came up short. Is there still some work to do for organized labor, or is there a mixed success message in this?
There's always more work to be done with working people and their unions, and that's what we at the Wisconsin AFL-CIO do every day. It's what motivates me each and every day to fight for working people. Because we know that if working people want to get ahead, then they need strong unions.
So there is a new governor. At the same time, the state legislature is still controlled by the Republican Party, many members of which have worked against labor unions in the past. What are your hopes and maybe your expectations for the coming 4 years?
Well, we are so excited about Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes, and we know that what they're made out of. And we know that Tony Evers was a teacher, a principal, and then state superintendent, and he understands the needs of working people, and he stands behind working people first. And that's why we are so excited about his administration. And then for Mandela Barnes, this is a man that was brought up in a union household that really his parents believed in the ideals of organized labor, and these are the people that are leading our administration, and we are very, very happy to be working with them.
At the same time, they are just one branch of government. They can't act unilaterally. So, you know, realistically, what are your expectations in the next 4 years?
Well, you know, we don't have the working people don't have friends in leadership of the Senate or the Assembly, and that is obvious by what has happened over these last 8 years with Scott Walker leading the charge against working people in the state of Wisconsin. So we stand ready to work with anyone who will work with us, but we do know how to add up the political math in Madison. And that means that it will take time to restore all of the rights that have been taken away from us as working people by Scott Walker. But we will make sure that we're working each and every day to make life better and easier for people who get up and go to work each day.
There are a number of unions who just joined the lawsuit against the lame duck legislation that was passed just before Governor Evers took office. Is the AFL-CIO itself a part of that legal action?
The AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, and SEIU filed for a lawsuit to challenge the lame duck special session that Walker put forward. And we are very happy that they are challenging this lame duck session. And look forward to as it courses through the legal system.
So we talked about those two unions in particular. What are the commonalities you see between the priorities of private sector and the priorities of public sector unions?
Well, each sector has, I believe, a common goal, and that is to bargain for better wages, better working conditions, safety measures, and also to provide training and promotion within their fields. So what unites us is this common idea that working people do better when they have a voice in the workplace.
At the same time, how do you balance working for those shared objectives and also recognizing that sometimes there are priorities that are specific to one but not the other?
Well, what we need to focus on is what brings us together. And when we focus on what brings us together and what we can do together, we are better off.
You mentioned the idea of training, and I wanted to ask about that. What do you see as the role of apprenticeships and other programs, training programs, that unions and you know, maybe union-related organizations have in the era in which, you know, we hear that people can't get ahead without a higher education degree?
Well, what really is important for people is to be able to have training, education, and in many times that comes in the form of apprenticeships. And our union trades and manufacturing really excel in this area of giving young people an opportunity to become masters in their fields. And that is what our union apprenticeship programs do. And we really want to see more young people open their eyes to these opportunities as well.
Given the last 8 years of the Walker administration, what's the financial health of the AFL-CIO and the unions the unions under its umbrella at this point in time?
Listen, I'm not going to tell you that the last 8 years have been easy, because they haven't. But what we have done is regroup, and we know that union members are joining back into their unions as never before. We know that union popularity is on the rise nationwide. We have studies and polls that are showing us that the great majority of American workers want there to be unions to be able to have balance in our economy. And that is something that is also apparent with our millennials, that they want to see a union if they want to organize collectively. Because really the best and only way for working people to get ahead is to join their voices together in a team and advocate for themselves and a better life for their kids.
I remember in the days surrounding Act 10, there were a lot of people who framed that debate or that law in terms like, you know, this is just leveling the playing field, just bringing public sector employee benefits more in line with what the rest of Wisconsin workers get. How do you make the case to people who might not currently be union members that what you do, what the AFL-CIO does, is relevant to their best interests? Like, how does an independent dairy farmer, say, benefit from organized labor?
Well, you know, I think that the real problem here in Wisconsin with many businesses is that the managers are not listening to their workers. And if management would open their ears and understand that working people that work for these companies have ideas that would benefit those companies, we could put Wisconsin back on track. And so we think that management all across the state ought to open their ideas to not fighting working people that want to come together in union, but really engaging these employees in the process of making Wisconsin businesses strong.
Is it significant at this point in our history that you are a woman leading this organization?
I think it's significant. And we know that women have always held a strong role in the American labor movement. And so I'm really excited about getting up each and every day and fighting very hard for working people to get ahead and to level the playing field so that we can have a better communities for ourselves and our kids.
How did unions and the union movement first become part of your life?
Well, you know, unions have always been part of my life. My mom talked about the importance of unions when I was a child. I remember standing in the grocery store with her, and my mom was a nurse. And she said, you know, really, we ought to have better pensions here at the hospital. And I said to her, well, you know, you should organize a union. And she said, well, you know, that is a good idea. And I was very proud because later on she was active in her union as a nurse in the city of Milwaukee. And really, my uncles were all part of their unions and were able to develop a strong families and a middle class life for themselves. And so unions have always been a part of my life. And I do this because I feel that I must. And I really believe that the only way that, you know, workers have a half a shot at the American dream is to come together and with a unified voice.
You were saying before that you're not going to try to say that the last 8 years have been easy. At the same time, are there success stories from recent years that you can point to that you can say, hey, this is where unions and where my work has made a difference?
Well, I think you're right. The last 8 years have not been easy for working people. But what it has done, it has strengthened our resolve. And so when I see people that have gone through the struggle and they understand the importance of unions in a different way, they were part of the fight back against Act 10 and right to work and the taking away of prevailing wage. And once people are involved in a struggle or trying to make something right that's wrong, they never change because that becomes part of their DNA to stand up when they see something that's wrong and fight for what's right.
You've been in the top job at the Wisconsin AFL-CIO for a few months now. What is a day in the life of Stephanie Bloomingdale like these days?
What is the day in the life? Well, you know what? It's always different, and that's what I find very challenging. I really enjoy getting out and talking to working people about what they're worried about, what their hopes and their fears are. And I really enjoy doing that. Really, I don't see anything else that I could do other than fight really hard each and every day for working people.
What is it that keeps you up at night?
What is it that keeps me up at night? You know, sometimes I feel that maybe we're not opening our doors wide enough to everyone who works to be able to join together and showing people that this is a way for them to have a better life. So I think that that's something that's very important that we should take seriously as an organization and as a movement.
Are there kinds of people, kinds of workers that you're thinking about when you talk about that?
Well, really, I think a lot about how our economy is changing and to, you know, with we have the artificial intelligence and we have a changing dynamic of work. And I think about how we are going to make sure that those working people have the same opportunity to come together and negotiate for better contracts for themselves, to think about stability in their work shift or work life. You know, the so-called gig economy where people are only called upon to work when they're absolutely needed and don't have a predictable schedule, that worries me about the future. And it worries me about, you know, what future my kids are going to have and the other kids that are coming up. What kind of work life are they going to be able to have?
Sounds like you have a lot of work in front of you.
Yes, I do.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stephanie Bloomingdale is the president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. You'll find links to other stories and interviews about labor at wuwm.com.